We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Two down, two to go. Welcome into Sports Talk here in our third hour. 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Lewis in Oklahoma. I see you. Sit tight. Deuce, you and I were talking a little bit off the air. On Facebook. I don't think we talked about it yet on the radio. I'm not a conspiracy guy, right? I typically shoot them down quickly. JFK, you know, the lone gunman, where there are multiple shooters, the grassy knoll, all that stuff. I shoot those down pretty quickly. But man, when it comes to the NBA and the draft lottery being rigged, it's hard not to buy that. It's just not, because there's not a lot of transparency going on.
Who doesn't love a good conspiracy, though?
I like them, but I typically don't buy them, especially in sports. But I do in the NBA.
Is the world flat or round? I mean, is that a conspiracy, or are we talking science here?
Oh, boy. You're venturing off into Cajun cannon land now.
Well, I'm sitting in the seat, so, yeah. I mean, you know, are we dealing with a flat world, or are we dealing with a circle?
Oh, boy.
But to get back to
the NBA, do you think the NBA lottery's pick is rigged?
When I found out the way that they actually do it, it makes you really scratch and wonder and ponder, man, what's going on here? If you go back a couple years ago when Mutombo picked, and I think it was either Joel Embiid or it was Embiid or Simmons, but Mutombo congratulates the 76ers. On getting the number one pick. This is an hour or two before they even had the draft. Now, or at least the lottery, the selection. Now, my understanding is once they have the selection, those gentlemen, whoever it may be, they can't take any electronics in there and they can't leave the room. But they know before the actual show is shown who has won. And so the actual, and this is my understanding, if I'm wrong, someone correct me, but so the draft show or lottery show was 7:30. At 6:30, it had already happened.
See, that's reason why you go, yeah, they can orchestrate this thing however they want.
Yeah. I mean, it just makes you say,
I mean, I don't care because it benefited the Pelicans. But I mean, David Griffin's first year as the president of basketball operations.
Couple weeks. Yeah, I've been there a couple weeks.
AD saga. Oh, we're going to, I mean, it's not beyond the realm of possibilities.
Well, but if you're thinking, particularly with a player like this, you go back to how Cleveland lucked into LeBron. You know, you think about how the Pelicans, how they had, you know, it's the NBA owned the Pelicans. And they luck into Anthony Davis.
Right.
It just makes you wonder what's really going on. And, man, I don't know. But I do know you talk about the rig part of it. If they wanted to rig it, they would not have sent potentially Zion Williams to New Orleans.
Right. They would have sent him to the Lakers.
They would have sent him to the Lakers or the Knicks, but particularly the Lakers because LeBron is out there.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, you talk about the Lakers have been terrible. They have been garbage for a while. And the Knicks have too. But, I mean, now you can re-energize those franchises if you wanted to really rig it in a sense.
Well, the Lakers are the NBA flagship franchise. I mean, they're you think of the NBA, one of the first teams you think of is the Lakers.
Lakers in Boston.
Right.
Because of the championships.
It would benefit them to rig it that way.
Right.
I don't know. Just the more and more I think about it, I'm like, gosh, it makes sense. But I don't care. The Pelicans – benefited for once, a small market team getting the potential Zion Williamson. Coming back for Lewis in Oklahoma and U2 at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. This is Sports Talk on WWL. Deuce and Christian here on Sports Talk. Lewis in Oklahoma. What's going on, Lewis? You're on WWL.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, listen, so chiming in on the fix thing, I kind of, when I heard that the Knicks and L.A. were in the top four, I was like, uh-oh, here we go. But with New Orleans winning it, I doubted it. But my question is this. I'm from Florida originally and moved out to Oklahoma not too long ago. I have family that lives in Louisiana. And I'm kind of confused, especially now that I just heard you guys talk about how Lonzo doesn't want to come to New Orleans, but he'll go to Phoenix. And I'm kind of, what's up with the people, these players not wanting to come out here? I mean, I know we hear the small market, but Phoenix, is it crime? Is it state tax? I mean, what does anybody, has anybody really
tried
to figure
out why? Lewis, there's a perception that some of the national media will spin and say the Pelicans for 9 years, 8 years that AD's been here, they wasted them. They don't know what they're doing. They're a poorly run organization. But that changed when David Griffin stepped into that building. So that's what it's about.
That's part of it. The other piece is there's no support. I mean, there's no support as far as, you know, they support the Saints. They don't support the basketball team as far as the Pelicans. And that being the fans. And to a point, that's true. I mean, this is still a growing organization when you look at it, being the Pelicans. But a lot of it has been, it's been a poor ran franchise. And that's what, you know, when you look at it from a national standpoint, that's the thing that they fall back on. And, you know, the other piece of it is, okay, what is there to do in New Orleans? Well, you're on the road for 42 games, and that's not even counting if you make the playoffs. So the NBA life is out of a suitcase a lot of the times anyway. I mean, in the NFL, you're on the road 10 games, and that's counting the preseason. You know, but in
10
the
weeks
NBA,
out of the year.
Well, yeah, 10 games, 10 weeks out of the year, not even 10 weeks, I mean, because it's only 2 days when you leave. But in the NBA, you're gone for at least 42 games. I'm not even counting the extra day that you have to leave if you're going to Portland or if you're going on a 3-game road trip out west. So it's living out of a suitcase. A lot of times, yeah, you may have players that do settle down and get a home here in New Orleans, but a lot of those guys, they rent them just because they know that they're gone so much or lease them. So it's different from that standpoint. And the other part of it, in the NBA, you can have an 18-year-old, a 19-year-old kid that basically played 1 year in college, and he is with you for 3-4 years, you know, 2 years at least, you know, maybe 3 years before he turns 21. So what's his support system? You know, how can I make sure this young man is not getting in trouble? Do I have a solid enough alpha dog as well as people around him to keep him out of trouble? So there's a lot that comes into it when you talk about what type of franchise a young kid is going to or potentially going to.
Good question, Lewis. Anything else, man?
No, I guess. I mean, but doesn't like all markets have to deal with that? What Deuce just said, doesn't all markets have to deal with that?
Yeah, they do to a degree. But again, a lot of it goes back to the perception that they were poorly ran for the last 8 to 9 years.
Yeah, from an operational standpoint.
I got it. All right, guys, thank you very much.
All right, Lewis, thanks. Matt in Metairie, what's going on, Matt? You're on WWL.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You bet.
I just wanted to get your take on, I had a theory on what actually happened. Obviously, you had reports coming up this morning, you know, Zion, you know, looked like he was hit by a truck after, you know, hearing the results of, you know, basically him coming to New Orleans and all this.
See, I didn't see that. His outward reaction was smiles.
No, I saw the report. I read that as well.
Yeah, and the way that I when I started thinking about it, I mean, you look at the Knicks. Now let's think about this. The Knicks fans literally thought that they had it in the bag that was theirs. They were talking about trades for AD. They were talking about different scenarios. Oh, we're not giving them up. And I saw Patrick Ewing. And this swagger that he had was kind of like overconfident cockiness. And it was like, to me, it seemed that whoever was surrounding Zion built this up like that was like his only destination, you know. And maybe Patrick Ewing might have talked to him and said, hey, you know, we're going to be great to have you, and you're going to do this for us, and you're going to do that. And it was built up so much to the point to when what happened that was the result that you got. And him being so young, I mean, it's not his fault. But, I mean, do you think that kind of makes – that might have actually happened or that kind of makes sense? I mean, to me, that's what I took from it.
I think that probably played a little bit into it, but I think it was Joel who spoke – we had him on earlier, Joel Myers, who spoke about some of the people in his circle that, you know, was selling him on Madison Square Garden. I mean, when you think about New York, it's not necessarily the franchise. It's the marketing dollars that you're looking at. And so that's the biggest thing. I mean, because – the Knicks can't pay Zion any more than the Pelicans can. But it's the marketing money that they were really trying to push and sell, and then having the opportunity to possibly play with KD or Kyrie Irving was what I think his people were really trying to sell to him. So when they don't get the number one pick and it's potentially New Orleans, it's like, man, what just happened? And the kid hadn't said anything. You know, he even commented last night that he's never even been to New Orleans.
Right.
So, you know, I think that's going to change very shortly here as they try to get to know each other a little bit. But, you know, I think for him, it's more outside people kind of assuming than him actually coming out and saying something himself.
Matt, thanks for the phone call. You can jump in as well at 504-260-1870, text 870-870. The next domino in this whole thing is going to be AD, does he stay in New Orleans or go? And to be honest with you, dudes, I'm at the point to where, yeah, it's attractive. It's fun to think about Anthony Davis and Zion Williamson and Drew Holiday playing on the same court together. And yes, that would put you in the top three in the West with that trio. But at some point, I just go, all right, if they don't want to be here, it doesn't mean that they can't get good really, really fast again with the capital that he's going to fetch. Do something. I'm talking about on the trade market. You could potentially get two top three picks this year, another number one at some point, and a player or two as well. So this is the Pelicans are in the driver's seat, is what I'm saying.
Yes, they are. I mean, it's basically the choice of what they want to do, looking at it from a franchise and organizational standpoint. If they cannot convince AD, you know, to be a part of this, hey, look, you know, Ms. Benson, this is the best opportunity we think is for us to grow and really get our fan base excited. That's what they're going to do, you know. But that's the next domino to fall.
Mike in New Orleans. What's going on, Mike? You're on WWL.
Yeah, hi, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I have to say this. I was listening to satellite radio. I looked at a little TV before I went to work. That was early this morning. But Stephen A. Smith and all these other guys, ESPN, the Fox guys, like the guy who's really ridiculous on Fox Radio and Colin Cowherd and all, they're out there campaigning at this moment for Zion, suggesting to him, I guess through radio, to play hardball with the Pelicans, a la they were using the man and kid?
Eli.
Who set out, Eli. And then using him as an example to sit out and don't go to the Pelicans. And other people on ESPN were like, you ought to do this, ought to do that. And I mean, to me, the lack of professionalism, which I know that exists because if you listen to them, you know that. How they're just actively campaigning and why would you want to go to New Orleans? They're also mad that possibly that Ja Morant is going to Memphis. So it all fuels what's going on with AD and where that mentality is in the NBA right now about, you know, if you don't go to the Lakers, you don't go to the Knicks. And it has nothing to do with how bad those organizations have been ran. It's just that we want them out there. They're the big cities and what have you. I mean, it was just it was so over the top today. I couldn't believe it. So, but anyway, I just had to mention that.
Yeah, it's been the national media. Why? Why is the national media trying to spin that? Because again, where are most of their headquarters? They're on the East Coast in New York, or they're on the West Coast in Los Angeles. So it makes it much more convenient to have a star in their town, and they don't want to have to come to New Orleans regularly to cover Zion Williamson if he lands here, Deuce.
I agree with you 100%. I mean, because some of the theories that they thrown out, the Eli scenario doesn't make sense for him. But, I mean, that hadn't been done in the NBA. We talked about it earlier since Danny Ferry. You know, 1989, he set out, did not want to go – I forgot. I mean, he was – I can't think of the team. But anyway, he went to Italy for a year. But the money is drastically different now than it was back in 89. And so you're talking about a young man that's had a knee injury this past year, or at least had an injury because of a shoe blowout. If he does sit out, he's risking that as well, another potential type injury. I just don't see him turning down that money. And the other thing also that's critical is he is delaying the major payday if he does sit out as well. And basketball, really in football as well, particularly on the position, the quicker you can get to your second and third contract, the better you are. If you wait, you're just delaying it a year longer to say that I can't get paid, you know, bird rights, et cetera, but you're just delaying that type of big payday.
Yeah, he's going to set himself back in a lot of ways. I don't think we're going to see that play out. And the Eli thing wasn't because he didn't like the Chargers location. It's not a small market deal. I didn't like the owner.
I didn't like the owner. I didn't like how they ran that organization.
Yeah, and that's what people are trying to see. You could say the Pelicans, you'd be fair in saying for the last eight years with Dell Demps in charge, they didn't run that organization very well. But David Griffin, I think now you have to go, all right, he's got a track record. Judge him by what he does with the Pelicans.
Yeah, and I wouldn't throw that all on Dell. Dell shot. He shot his shot. He just had injuries.
Yeah.
I mean, he to go after Boogie Cousins and to gamble on some of the players that he did, it just didn't work. But, I mean, he tried. It was just poor.
Text here at 870-870. How does it work if we pick Zion? He says, I'm going back to Duke or whatever. Does that mean we totally lose out? No. He has to declare that before. It's 10 days after the NBA scouting combine.
Yep.
He's got to declare. That's why they do it. Because some of these guys that – they go through the combine and they might have a different evaluation from the selection committee, the selection board, the advisory board, and said, you're not going to go in the first round. So they can give them the opportunity to go back to school or go somewhere else.
They can go back to college.
Yes.
I mean, but you can't hire an agent as well.
Right.
And Zion has not hired an agent.
Right.
He has not hired an agent, and he has not officially he hadn't publicly announced who is going to do his marketing, which is probably the biggest deal, not the agent side.
Well, Clutch Sports, I'm sure, is trying to get their hands on.
They're probably not very happy right now.
No. No, they're not. It's true.
If it's Clutch, they're probably not very happy right now.
Yeah, they wanted him in L.A. or New York.
They wanted him in L.A. and New York.
Man, it's one of those deals where I look at it and I'm going, I get why everybody's up in a tizzy, but to say that the Pelicans didn't deserve or don't deserve. When did the NBA become this hierarchy of, oh, you're not worthy of getting a player of that caliber?
Because you know how much access I have in New York to X all the players.
Mm-hmm.
You know that's what it's about. You know how much access I could have to Zion Williams if he's in New York and I am XYZ with XYZ company. If he's in New York, you know how much access I could have to him, and I could tell you his every move. Now I don't have that because he's down in New Orleans.
Yeah, I mean, that's if the NBA, we would agree that the NBA has a parity problem, right?
Yes.
Okay. And there's
the players control. The players have the control in the NBA.
They run the league.
Yes.
All right. It goes on all the time. Guy wants out, he gets out. Anthony Davis is about to he's about to throw his temper tantrum way out of New Orleans.
It was two years out before he was a free agent. Hey, look, I don't want to be here. Kawhi did it to San Antonio.
And I'm sure the Greek Freak's going to end up doing it to Milwaukee.
Well, he's talking a little different because it's organic for him.
Okay.
That's my word for him.
My point, though, is at some point the NBA has to show that they are not a big market, lopsided league.
I think you'll
and
see
as
some.
Long as the Pelicans, I mean, as long as the players control the league, that's hard to do.
I think you'll see something happen really in their next CBA that they have coming up. I know one of the things that they've talked about heavily is removing the one and done rule. They've talked about, you know, the G League being the way that, you know, if you're an elite player, they have this elite deal where those players will be able to go. It'll change it, but when you talk about the parity of it, look, you're still talking about a league that's trying to grow. And when I mean grow for the NBA, they are thinking more global. They're, you know, I think it'll be a while before they catch the NFL as far as money, how much they make in a yearly. It's not even close. You know, I think one is at, and this is terrible, $8 billion, and the other one is at like $14 billion. Both of those are going to get a bump.
Well, when you're in the billions and you're separated by $6 billion, that's a significant amount.
Yeah, I mean, Christian is.
No, what I'm saying is, why the NBA, I mean, if you're seeing the NFL make $14 billion, then you would want to try to get a piece of that pie as well.
Yeah, I mean, but that's down the road. Because for them, it's global. You know, they play games over in China. They're in China. Yao Ming hadn't played in the NBA in, what, 10-plus years for Houston. But they go over there and they play, and it's a big hit. You know, I think they international game in London as well. And it's a big hit. They go over for a week or two during training camp, and it's a big hit because you have so many of – you look at the draft. I think it's June 20th. I think that's the NBA draft. Look how many international players will be drafted. And a lot of those young men will have been a pro at age 13, 14. That doesn't happen here. You know, because it's just different. But, you know, when you talk about the growth of their game, that's what you have.
Joe in Mandeville. What's going on, Joe? You're on WWL.
Yeah. As far as the New York and L.A. market, you can cry me a river. This is a big victory for the small market team. Okay. I'm from a family of lawyers, and they're all telling me these players are colluding to get on a winning team. And if it's not a big market like New York or L.A., stay him and Hall, okay? Pathetic approach to this. You're undermining the competition and the standards of the NBA. That's why I got a real problem with it. This CBA agreement, they're going to have to fix this, don't you think? Because they're sitting there whining about why Zion, because you've got the number one pick and you're going to, of course, pick Zion.
The NBA,
right?
Is not going to come in and do anything because they're profitable. They're making money, and this has really been this way for the last 15, 20 years, and this is the way fans want it and tolerate it.
Maybe not that long, but it's been a problem for probably at least the last 10 years.
Okay.
Yeah, and the viewership has dropped. Okay. Do you want to risk that? Come on. You got to spread the wealth around a little bit and make it a little bit fair for everybody else. What's the point of having a franchise in a small market like Memphis or New Orleans or San Antonio or so forth? They're going to sit there and undermine the competition or these franchises because they want to go to a big market. It's a joke. And I love it. I love it because I can't stand New York and Dolan, the Dolan family that runs the Knicks in that dump of a gym called a Madison Square Garden. Have you ever been there?
I've been there.
It smells like rotten popcorn or an old movie theater. It's pathetic.
Yeah, Dolan.
And they want them to go in there?
Dolan has done a poor job with the Knicks, I would agree. But, you know, if you're a basketball fan, you want to go to Madison Square Garden.
Real quick, I'm going to hang up. All right, we're going to go ahead and spare LSU. You're not going to be able to play in that Texas heat at 1:30 at the DKR. We'll move it up in the evening for you, okay?
Joe, they practice in Baton Rouge. It's equally as hot in Baton Rouge as it is Austin. Come on, man. That was a weak take. Coming back for Lewis in Houston, Texas. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Still unpacking the Zion Williamson Pelicans winning the number one pick in the NBA draft lottery last night. Greg and Kenner. What's going on, Greg? You're on WWL.
Hey, great day for New Orleans. Season ticket holder from the beginning. And I think at this point, looking at it realistically, I don't think Davis wants to come back, but I'm not even certain if people were honest about it in the front office of the Pelicans, that they really want him back. I mean, Griffin is saying he wants it back, which is the right thing to say, but I just don't see that happening at this point. I think Davis is going to move on, and under those circumstances, we have to make our best deal. The only way we're going to trade with Boston is if Davis agrees to sign there. Davis has some leverage in this. And if Davis is willing to sign with Boston because Kyrie Irving stays in Boston, then maybe perhaps that's a deal that Boston can do. But they're not going to give us the treasure trove of draft picks plus Tatum and Brown and Smart and these kind of players unless Davis is willing to sign there. So Davis has some leverage in this. The Knicks are also out there with the third pick of the draft, but they just don't have any players to offer in addition to the third pick. They have future picks from Dallas and their own first-round picks. They don't have anything near what either the Lakers or the Boston has to offer. So, if
what do the Lakers have to offer? They've already declined offer.
All right. So I think Kyle Kuzma is a very good player, okay? I think the fourth pick of the draft changes my attitude about what they have to offer. There are very good players, potential stars, maybe not superstars, but stars that are going to be available at the fourth pick of the draft.
So Kyle Kuzma and the fourth pick.
Yeah, but wait, stop. You're also going to have to get Ingram, and I would want him to be healthy, and that is an unknown right now. But Ingram would be extremely important. Kuzma would be extremely important. The fourth pick of the draft would be the number one chip for me. And then whatever else they can throw in. And if it's Ball, I'm going to immediately move him to another team. And I'm not realistically thinking I'm going to get the sixth pick of the draft from the Suns to get Ball. That's just not going to happen. He does not have that. He does not command that kind of interest in the league. I think he is a valuable trade asset, but not at that level.
So great.
Other players are,
so great.
You know, so it's going to turn on Ingram and whether he's healthy.
Well, and so that was my point. It goes back to Kyle Kuzma and the fourth pick and then a possibility with Ingram.
It's a problem. But let's look at it from the other standpoint. If Boston's willing to give me Tatum Brown and let's say Memphis's pick, which will be next year, top six protected and then unprotected the following year, and maybe another first-round draft pick, I may jump at that. Because I know Tatum and Brown are very good players and they're both healthy. But let's face it, Tatum did not look like a future star in the playoffs this year. And if you look at his shooting statistics, nothing about him suggests he's going to be a star in the league. He's going to be a very good player. And he could develop into a star, but there's no guarantee there either.
But his numbers are better.
I might trade with Boston, but here's the deal. Anthony Davis has the right to nix that.
He doesn't have the right to nix. He has to go there for 1 year. I mean, so he doesn't have the rights to nix it. You can't let him control that piece of it if you're going to move him. The other part is Brown's is Tatum's and Brown's number are better than Kuzma and Ingram, and Ingram is hurt. So that makes zero sense when you talk about moving them. The Boston would have to give up more because they don't have the number four pick when you talk about like the Lakers do. And also when you speak of the Knicks, I think Mitchell Robinson is a fairly good player. And the report is already out there when you talk about the Pelicans doing homework on Kevin Knox. It is very intriguing. If the Knicks offer you those two players, a filler player, the number three, and two potential first-rounders, that's better than any offer that you've talked about, particularly from the Lakers. And I'm a Laker fan. I grew up purple and gold, pulling for Elgin Baylor and
you ain't no Lakers fan now.
Nah, not anymore. I mean, I'm old school Magic, Coop, Worthy, Michael Thomas. I mean, that's
Kareem,
the Skyhook baby. I mean, that's how far it goes back with me and the Lakers.
Greg and Kenner, thanks for the phone call. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Shark Menard at Master Control, waiting your phone call at 504-260-1870. Deuce, did you hear Mark's attempt at a Chewbacca call? At a Chewbacca imitation, you know? Did you hear this?
No.
Me and Zach were here. This is when Peter Mayhew, the guy who played Chewbacca in the first three Star Wars films.
He passed away.
Passed away, right. So, Mark, do you have that clip?
You have to give me a second.
All right, pull that clip up. So, in a very impromptu way, we asked Mark to give us his best Chewbacca impersonation, and I
obliged because I'm a trooper,
and it provided for a lot of laughs.
You talking about like the Chewbacca the costume or the monster Chewbacca?
No, the one that played Chewbacca.
I don't watch no Star Wars.
You don't watch Star Wars?
I told you that.
You know who Chewbacca is, though, right?
I just told you what my Wookie? Chewbacca.
The big furry guy that hangs out with Harrison Ford.
The monster.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call him a monster.
Well, we got two different Chewbaccas.
Okay. All right, Mark, we got the clip?
I'm pulling it up.
All right. But
my Chewbacca is a furry guy, and he's like the monster, a scary Chewbacca.
You sound like one of your kids, like he's a monster.
Yeah,
scary.
That's the Chewbacca I'm talking about, not no Star Wars.
All right, so this is what it sounded like when Mark did his impersonation of Chewbacca. I just figured you would want to hear it for some laughs.
I
plus, it's
hear
funny.
It, but
this has got a great look. I knew that would be good for laughs. You've heard the Chewbacca yell before, right? Did that sound anything like? Just play it. Just give me the clip that isolated itself of just Mark. It sounds like he's dying. That's never going to get old. That is never going to get old. That's a keeper. That's one that, Mark, we will play
that's
for
fine.
The next 10 years.
All that needs to be said is I never claimed to be able to make a Chewbacca noise. I was asked to try.
And this is what Chewbacca does.
That's the impersonation we got. Look, I did it for selfish reasons because I haven't heard it in about 2 weeks. So I wanted to hear it. And that was
Mark,
every bit
that
as
was
funny
my first
as it was
time,
the first
so,
time.
Wow.
Why do you not like Star Wars, Deuce?
I don't like it's fictional. It's
so you don't like sci-fi?
No.
You don't watch Star Trek either?
No.
Do you like anything fictional?
Yes.
Okay.
But it's got to be based off of a true story.
So no fiction. So
no, X-Files, no.
Okay. So like Predator, Aliens.
Yeah, I watched it when I didn't have any other channels to be able to watch something else on TV.
Okay, so if you're sitting down to watch a movie, are you doing action, comedy, drama? What are you doing?
Yeah, action, comedy, drama, those. I'm not watching something that is not true.
Where's your imagination?
I'm not going to imagine that.
That's what I mean. Where's your imagination?
Does it have to be actually based on a true story or just grounded in a type of reality?
Give me somewhat true. I mean,
like you're not just watching like Abraham Lincoln documentaries all night or anything like that.
I'm gonna come closer to watching that than X-Files and Star Wars and Chewbacca.
What about like Rambo?
I watch a little Rambo. It's got
that's
some action.
Total fictional.
There.
That's it's totally got, fictional.
I mean,
though.
No, it was some, you were out there like Rambo.
No, I was not. I was never even close to being Rambo.
You based off of it. I mean, so that's
got first blood, not me.
Yeah, you got a little Rambo in you.
No, I do not. Coming up next hour, Chris Blair. And this final segment of this hour went drastically off the rails. Play-by-play voice of the LSU Tigers, Chris Blair, next hour here on Sports Talk on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.